The past few weeks, we have been going through a model for prayer. I hope all of you have a copy of this. Did you get a copy of that when you came in for your bulletins? That I call the Abba Prayer, praying intimately with our Heavenly Father. We pray for a lot of reasons. A lot of times, we're really never taught to pray where we have the expectation of really hearing God speak to us. Thus, this morning I put in the bulletin, do you really want to hear the voice of God? Because that's possible. I mean, we read about all that in Scripture, and we know that down through the ages, the saints of the church have given testimony to this fact. And yet, we live in a world where we think those kinds of things don't really happen today, and if they do, they're sort of kooky people. Because it's so rare, or who knows what's going on in their mind, and they're just claiming that's God. And I'm sure some of that's true. You know, we do have people that have mental disabilities and think of some things that aren't necessarily coming from God, and they may think that. But I think God would speak to us more often if we believe He really wants to speak to us. And I believe the Abba Prayer is a way to get serious about our prayer life in terms of having that kind of personal contact with Abba, which is the very personal, intimate name Jesus used for the Heavenly Father. We can pretty much count in Aramaic that every time Jesus refers to the Father, He used the word Abba. Personal, intimate, a closeness that is just bound up in an incredible love. So using the four letters, you have here that pattern, how we approach God, how we become as little children before God, how we start to bear our soul to God and get rid of some of the false images we have of God. You know, I'm not sure we want to hear God speak to us if all we see in God is a judge who's watching over us for every little mistake we made. I wouldn't want to hear from that guy a lot, would you? So it's all about our image. But if God is this intimate person that Jesus tells us about and teaches us, then we want to hear His voice lots of times. We particularly want to hear His voice when we're concerned about our mom and dad, you know, so far away from us. We'd like to hear a word from God, right? When we're in a family that's going to be dealing with Alzheimer's disease, it would be good to hear a personal word from God about our situation. If we're facing surgery, it would be good for us to be able to count on hearing a personal word from a God who is a loving, intimate Father, but we're not going to hear it if we don't expect it. And we might not hear it if we don't prepare ourselves for it. And as we come to this fourth in the series, we're talking about something really incredible. We see that in the Scriptures that were read this morning. And in the Isaiah passage, you know, he is transported in the Spirit to the very throne of God and is just overwhelmed by the presence of this holy God and that He is there. And he just immediately confesses he's a person with unclean lips in the midst of people with unclean lips. That he's just confessing that he's a sinner. And he doesn't understand as a sinner how he can be in the presence of a holy God. But he says something kind of strange, this God, when he's telling Isaiah what to say to the people. He talks about saying to the people, keep listening, but do not comprehend. Keep looking, but do not understand. Make the mind of this people dull. Stop their ears. Shut up their eyes. so that they may not look with their eyes and listen with their ears and comprehend with their minds and turn and be healed. There's a lot of different ways you can interpret that scripture, but one way is that God is saying maybe we approach Him in a different way than we approach other things in life. And if we don't learn how to approach God that way, maybe we're going to miss hearing the very voice of God for our lives and in our lives. There have been some times in my life where I've really heard that voice. Can't honestly say it's an audible voice. It's someone like Paul was talking about, this man caught up in the third heaven. You know, he couldn't say for sure because you're dealing with things we can't talk about in normal ways. That's what this passage is talking about. Minds that understand, ears that hear, eyes that perceive. You know, we don't necessarily contact God and hear His voice in the same way you're hearing my voice this morning, assisted by this contraption. And God could be saying to Isaiah, talk to him so they don't count on these things, so they have to dig down deep in who they are and connect with something else to hear my voice in their lives. So with the ABBA formula, we're at the last A. And in this particular formula, we are looking to grasp exactly how do I do that. Now, when I talk about this Abba prayer, I want to remind you of something. I'm not saying we follow this Abba prayer every day. Because I find when I'm trying to get in to this kind of intensive prayer that we're looking at 30 minutes to an hour in prayer to get there. I mean, it's somewhat like it's somewhat like what we hear when we hear people talk about contemplative prayer. When we think of the Lectio Divina of St. Benedict, you know, it's the last highest stage of contemplation. It's not easy to get there. And we can usually go through ABB and do okay. But when we get down to this fourth one, it's a special time. It's a bit like Isaiah's passage, that he was in prayer and then he just found himself before the throne of God. It wasn't something that happened every day to him, I'm sure, or it wouldn't have been quite the shock that it was. But just because we don't go before the throne of God every time we try this kind of prayer doesn't mean we ought not try it. We ought not reach out. Because there's going to be a time, there's going to be a day when there is that connection. And we're going to experience something we can never, never put in words. We can never explain. Paul couldn't explain what he was trying to tell us in 2 Corinthians because of just the incomprehensibleness of this. But we start by realizing that assisted by the Holy Spirit, we have got to abandon self. We've got to be so focused on God and the things of God that we're not thinking in a self-centered way. We're not trying to butter God up for what we're going to ask Him for. That all we want is to get self out of the way so God can be present in our lives and allow the Spirit, our spirit, to ascend to God. You know, the whole thing about the sacrifices in the temple and burnt sacrifices was the idea that when you burn the bulls and the lambs and the goats and the doves and the birds and the incense, which was a pretty good idea, having incense to cover up all that burning flesh, is that went up to God in the smoke. It ascended to the heavens. where God could perceive it as an honest offering. And the best offering we can give God is pushing self out of the way and just offering ourselves up. And just as St. Paul told us in Romans 8, that God's Spirit witnesses to our spirit that we are children of God, then our spirit can ascend up and connect with the Spirit of God and be in His holy presence. But we've got to let go and abandon self and selfishness and self-centeredness and what we want to come before a holy God like this. In Ephesians 5:1, Paul tells us, "Therefore be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God." See, when Jesus came in human form, he made himself a sacrifice that went up to God. Some of you are out there thinking, "I don't remember Jesus being burned." Well, he wasn't burned. But you see, he lived that way, that he offered his spirit up to God. And if we offer our spirits up to God and abandon self, our spirit will connect with the very Spirit of God, and we can be in his holy presence. Do you realize that astrophysicists, I was reading in a book by Dr. Hugh Ross, Beyond the Cosmos, astrophysicists postulate that there are 11 dimensions of reality. I mean, that's the present theory. Who knows what it is from there? You know, Einstein talked about time being a dimension of reality and postulated others. Well, these astrophysicists have come to the conclusion that mathematically there are at least 11 dimensions of reality. That's not much different from what Paul was talking about when he was talking about the levels of heaven. It was popular in his day to think of 7 levels of heaven. For those of you who may be Masons, you talk about the astral sphere and those dimensions. But there's something about that if even scientists are dealing with it, wouldn't you think? So how do we rise to a dimension beyond anything we can possibly comprehend? Astrophysicists say if you know the math, you can comprehend it. I don't know that I want to know that much math, but you know, I wouldn't want to insult a mathematician sitting down here. Maybe you can comprehend it through that. But I think it's kind of incomprehensible. I think it's godly stuff. And that gives us a little bit of a hold on it. But what God is inviting us to is we can just ascend up through whatever dimensions there are and encounter Him and His holy presence. But we've got to make it a part of our devotional life, our prayer life. We've got to make it a desire of our hearts. And when we do, we can awaken the awareness of Abba's presence when we just lift up spiritually and forget about the things that are here. They have been some of the most precious times in my prayer life. And I can't even quite understand them. But they're glorious. But you know, I have to confess to you this morning, I haven't had one of those experiences in a while. And I kind of long for it. It's so beautiful. And part of my struggle is in writing this. You know, how do we get that back? Maybe we had it one time. Maybe we experienced it one time. And I want to experience again. I have to come before God with the hope that I can abandon self enough that he just takes over and is there. And I'm awakened to Abba's presence. And then I'm absorbed by his abiding and abounding agape love. You see, agape love always seeks what's best for the other, never self. It's the ultimate surrender in love because it is not self. Centered, it's what's best for others. And what have we learned from Scripture about the nature of God? Well, in John 4, we hear quite a lot about this from John. For he tells us that God is love. And I kind of think that when we're really in the presence of true agape love, selfless love, and a lot of our love isn't selfless. It's self-centered. I mean, how many times do we say, I love you about things, or food, or a dress, or a car? Yeah, pretty self-centered. But we're talking about God's love. And I think when we're in the presence of real love, we're in the presence of God. I think those two things change position. When we're in the presence of love, we're in the presence of God. When we're in the presence of God, we're in the presence of love. Because it's a spiritual reality. And Jesus taught us that God is spirit, and we must worship him in spirit and truth. So we can't get there in a 1, 2, 3, 4 clear mathematical way. But we can let go and get there. And when we're in his presence, when we're absorbed by his love, then we can access the very mind and will of God as he addresses us personally with a word for us. That's what Jacob experienced. Remember Jacob? The one who stole the birthright of his brother Esau and had to get out of town fast because his brother was bigger, stronger, a hunter, and mom sent him out of town. And on his way to her kinfolks, he stopped to rest, used a stone for a pillow, which sort of amazes me. I find trouble finding a pillow that's good enough. I can't imagine a stone, but that's what the scripture says. And he goes to sleep. And who's to say that some of our dreams, certainly not all of them, hopefully, aren't a connection with one of those dimensions of reality, one of those levels of heaven. And while he was dreaming, he saw a ladder that just went up into the heaven, and he saw angels coming and going with the very messages of God. Don't you want to have an experience like that or similar to that in your relationship to Abba Father? Don't you want to place yourself in a position that maybe at least weekly you try to pray this kind of prayer? You set aside enough time. You get in a place where you're not disturbed by anything. For heaven's sakes, nowhere near a phone or a TV or anything like that. And then you just try to go to God. You try to let go and allow your spirit to ascend to him and come into his presence so that you know his mind and his will and hear his loving word for you. See, the good news in that is when we let go of self to accomplish that and we hear his voice, it's going to be his voice about what we need to know most, not what we think we need to know. That's why you have to abandon self. Because we go to God and say, I want a word from you, Lord, but I want it on this subject, and I prefer this response. But when we abandon self, we can trust God when he does speak a personal word for each of us, that it will be absolutely the word we need to hear for our life at that moment. Wouldn't you like to hear that word? Wouldn't you like to hear it on a reasonably regular basis? To know that Abba Father loves you so much, he has a word for you if you can just let go and ascend into his holy presence and know his mind and his will and hear his voice miraculously speak to your life. That's what I hope for you. That's what I hope for me, because it's the dearest words that we can hear. He wants to lift us up to his presence